Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence. May your anointing be upon your word. May your anointing be upon your people. May by the end of this conference, may our hearts be melted in your love. May our spirits be open for the baptism of your Holy Ghost. May our entire being be open to receive your infilling. May there be a stirring. May there be a set time this day to bring back revival into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You guys can have your seats. Are you glad to be here? Listen, Christianity without the power of God is nothing but a dead science. It is illegal for a preacher to preach without the power of God. I'm going to say it again. It is illegal for a preacher to preach without power. Meaning that if he preaches a message on healing and there's no healing happening after that message or during that message or by the time there's no power, he's illegal. He's bringing embarrassment upon God. When I preach without power, I am moving in a realm of being illegal and I bring embarrassment on God. When signs, wonders, and miracles does not follow my life and I go out there and preach the gospel, I bring an embarrassment. That's why you need to be in school of discipleship, school of mentors, okay? For some of you might sit but think, yeah, but you know, I don't have the gift of this. No, 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 no. The Bible says, desire he the spiritual gifts, then it will come upon you. Desire spiritual gifts. There are so many spiritual gifts. There's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's the gifts of the Father. There's the gifts of the Son. Are you guys with me? I think there's 12 gifts of the Holy Ghost. I think there's, 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. I think there's 10 of the Father. And I believe there is 5 of the Son. Desire spiritual gifts. How do you become a 5-fold gift? One of the ways is to desire. Are you guys with me? The Bible says that he who desires to be a bishop desires a good thing. So he who desires to say, I want to be in this church, I want to plant cells, I want to have home cells under e-groups under me, and I want to be fruitful. You desire a good thing. Put for me on the screen Acts 19. Okay, are you guys ready for the word? Let me, and I have nothing, absolutely nothing prepared. Just on the way here, God began to speak to me. I had something prepared, But on the way here, I heard God speaking to me because last night he said to me, I should not preach what I wanted to preach. Acts chapter number 19, verse number 1. So let's go somewhere. It says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, he came to Ephesus and finding some disciples, say with the disciples, next verse, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Question mark. So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to throw a teaching out of, and mess you up with a teaching, that when we say we get saved, we have the Holy Ghost. Okay? These people were disciples. They were not even only saved. They were working for the Lord. Are you guys with me? They were disciples and they said, we haven't even heard of anything such as the Holy Spirit. Next verse. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, we were baptized into John's baptism. Next verse. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Listen to me. There are many people, even in Christianity today, in churches today, they come from other churches. Maybe they touch ECC, come to us, I'm not sure. But they come from other churches and they've been baptized by a man and not Jesus Christ, not by the Holy Ghost. I'm not now speaking of water baptism. Are you guys with me? I know John's baptism was water baptism, but the word referencing here is, they didn't know about the Holy Ghost. They just said, no, we were baptized with John's baptism. You will know where I can baptize you with water. You will never say, I was baptized with Leon's baptism. Are you guys with me? Which tells me a whole lot of other things. Because John took offense and he went to prison because of Jesus' supernatural ministry. John had a ministry. At that time, John thought it was his baptism that he was baptizing them in. He did it in the name of Christ, but it was around him. Are you guys with me? His people had no change and transformation upon them. Because when his disciples met Jesus, just one day, they begged him. They said, please, can we stay here by you? I don't know. This thing is too high. Listen, there are levels of the word, okay? You get the milk of the word. You get the meat of the word. You get the strong meat of the word until it becomes honey, which is the fourth level of the word. Many people are still by milk. If I talk to scripture, some might not know by John and so on. So because of that, and because we're a young church, you will find myself explaining a lot of things where some, those are the more mature, can jump and really receive it. Listen, the others still have to think. So for example, John had no signs and wonders on his life. He took offense of Jesus' ministry. Offense caused him to go into prison and get his head chopped off. Are you guys with me? Delivered on a platter to Herod's daughter. Are you with me? And John was in prison, offended. And the Bible says that when some of his disciples, John's disciples, were spending time with Jesus, it was not even a few hours, according to scripture. And they said, listen, please, we want to stay by you. We want to stay the night there. Why? They encountered another baptism. Say with me, there is much more. Say there is much, much more to me than what meets the eye. Listen, there must be more than just nominal Christianity, where I go to school, I go to my workplace, I go to university, and I just go home on a Monday, and then I see it Sunday, I come into church. There must be more. I was listening to a lot of videos last night about revival and how revival took place. All your top revivals, from Brownsville revival to revivals taking place in South Africa. And I was sitting and I was weeping under the presence of God, and I thought, I don't know if we are ready for revival. People don't even want to come one night to a service. If revival comes, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. For a schedule, for a time, some revivals will tell you, for 10, the one was 119 days. 119 days. Your everything ceases just for revival. Because God's Spirit, listen, revival is not souls coming in. Revival is God's Spirit coming down, renewing our spirit, refreshing our spirit. Are you guys with me? That is my prayer from tonight and the night that Pastor Mark will be here. I'm going to speak to him to see if we can lay hands on everybody as well during the week. But tonight, my goal is going to be a revival to hit a person personally, for their hearts and their spirits to be revived with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Meaning, they can just, when they walk out of the building, all of a sudden they're on fire. They want to do the things they used to do when they just got saved. They can't wait to get back home to read their Bible. Can't wait to get back home to spend time with God, begin to spend time in prayer. Can't wait to get to church just to begin to lift their hands in worship, to feel Him and encounter Him. Listen to me. Say with me, the spirit of revival that will fall this week for a personal, powerful Pentecost. Amen. Have you seats? Where was I? Okay, Acts 19. So Paul said, John indeed baptized you with baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who had come after him. It is amazing that these people were saved. They were disciples, but they've never even heard of the Holy Ghost. They never knew there had to be something more. Are you guys with me? They are like Christians today who's sitting in the church. They've received Jesus twice, but they settled for that. And they never stepped into a place where we understand, but wait, there must be more of God. Where are we now? Go for the next verse. Let's see what it says. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Next verse. And when Paul had laid hands, say with me, laid hands on them. There's two ways the baptism can come. It can come by the laying on of hands, number one. Or number two, it can come by somebody just preaching and you begin to pray in other tongues. When we have meetings where the glory of God falls, when we'll pray for people for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, happen in the church a lot, we'll just speak and people are beginning to pray in other tongues. Are you guys with me? The Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues. Say with me, and prophesied. Let me read it again. It says, and when Paul laid his hands on them, was Paul a prophet? No, okay? He wasn't a prophet. So, Paul was an apostle. Are you guys with me? But Paul laid his hands, apostle and a teacher, on them. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke with tongues. And even though Paul laid hands on them who wasn't a prophet, they began to prophesy. That means that one of the signs, the two signs of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is prophecy and speaking in other tongues. When you're standing in your home, in your e-group, and you want to minister to people in the e-group, or you're standing in your workplace, you want to minister to them, the first thing that is going to begin to bubble up on the inside of you is you just want to prophesy to them. You want to tell them for some reason, listen here, I feel that there's a member in your family sick, but God says you don't have to worry, that sickness will not come to you. The word of the Lord is being stirred up on the inside of you. It is a sign of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Are you guys with me? Let's go to next verse. Now the men were all about 12 in all. Okay, that is it. So say with me, the baptism. Listen, there's so much more. Here we see in Acts chapter 19 that they thought they had everything and they haven't even heard about the Holy Ghost. A Christian life is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? A Christian life is impossible. You cannot read your Bible. You cannot pray. You will have no desire. If you're sitting here today and you have no desire to read your Bible or to go pray, no desire, it might just mean you have very little Holy Ghost or no Holy Ghost. Okay. When we are infused with the Holy Spirit, every fiber of your being, and we're going to pray for people this morning, every fiber of your being will be touched with power. When my family goes to bed, the most nights I cannot wait to go into my prayer room and just sit under the presence of God. There'll be times when it be so strong, it feels like a blanket that's lying on me for 3, 4, 5 hours, and all I can do is see the future. All I can do is rayon. All I can do is dream what is going to happen in the service here. Dream where the church is going to move next and how we're going to go do this. Dream when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you want to prophesy. Prophesy to yourself. Come on, are you guys with me? Many nights I would lie and I would see these things and I would prophesy to myself. This will happen there that day. This will happen there that day. Why? God has given it to me to see it. All you need to do is to say, God, I want to go into my room. I want to be filled and infused with the Holy Ghost. I want His power and His glory to come upon me like a blanket and cover my life. Are you guys with me? Listen. Listen, the church, unfortunately, is like a hospital. It's like you have 3 rooms in a hospital. Number one, you have an administrative room. These are churches that just want your money and then they're not helping you really after that. They're sending you SMSs every time about your outstanding medical bill, okay? Then you have a second room, which is the doctor's appointment room. And these are churches that always have appointment after appointment after appointment, and they are too busy and you feel like you can never get your breakthrough because you can never get an appointment. These are churches that doesn't operate in a team ministry. Are you guys with me? Everybody wants to see the senior pastor. Then you have a third ministry. It's called an emergency room ministry. This is where people can go and they can and the doctors will work with them, even if it takes right through the night, but they will try their best to get them healthy. Maybe not in some public hospitals here, but they will try to get them healthy. These doctors sometimes go days on without sleeping. Those are the pastors that you want in a church. Are you guys with me? If I phone one of our pastors that are training and it's 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock and I say, listen here, we need to go to this person. And they say, oh, I was tired, you know. Then I'll be like, okay, you don't have to come in tomorrow. Are you guys okay? This is for you, okay? This is not for me. I don't have to do it. I'm doing it for you, knowing that you have the third realm and dimension of the church. It's like working in an emergency room where you will know the intercessors are praying. The pastors are working. Are you guys with me? The e-group leaders, they're praying and they're working. We're casting out demons. We're healing the sick. We're not making appointments or trying to get money, money, money through administration. It's a church that is working. Now, I love about Paul that when we read the scripture, the Bible says that when Paul saw them, he saw that they believed and they were disciples. But they said to Paul, we do not even know about the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? And Peter was in Acts chapter number 2. The Bible says that Peter stood up, preached the word. 3,000 came to the church. Acts chapter number 10, Peter went to Cornelius' house and God brought the gospel through Peter to the Gentiles. But when you get to Paul, I like Paul because Paul he knows how it is to preach without power. Are you guys with me? He was a man who walked to Athens, tried to preach in Athens with a 10-point teaching, good teaching. And the Bible said he walked out of Athens. This is a man who wrote 2/3 of your Bible, who went so many times to heaven that he couldn't even explain what has happened up there. It was not lawful for him to utter out of his mouth the heavenly experiences that he has. Are you guys with me? Paul that went up into heaven, Paul that encounters, Paul that he had so much revelations and visions that a thorn was sent. A thorn to his flesh was sent. But listen, listen, listen. Paul, how can I say it like this? Paul came to this place. He knew, he looked at these Christians and he said, I know what it is to kind of like believe but have no power. Paul was an educated man. He was the Pharisees of the Pharisees. Are you guys with me? Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. The Bible says that he was circumcised on the eighth day. He came out of the tribe of Benjamin. He sat under Gamaliel, who was the highest teacher and high priest in those days. Paul knew the law. He said, listen, when it comes to the law, I am perfect and blameless. This man knew education. He was intelligent. He would persecute the church into their thousands. Are you guys with me? Killing them into their thousands. Even when he had an encounter with God, was there still no power? Paul stood by he had encounters with God at home, and where he was he was kind of like secluded at Tarsus. And when for 3 years, he was in the desert having experiences. And then he came to the church of Jerusalem. And he had to submit and just sit and listen to other people teach until it was his time to get up and he just taught. Even Paul himself submitted in the church until the Bible says that the Holy Spirit spoke to the leaders in the church. And they all went and fasted and prayed. And they heard the Holy Spirit saying, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. Now you have people in this day, oh, I had a dream. I must go do a ministry here. I had a dream. I must go plant a church. I must leave from this church to that church. Listen, let's get back to Bible. Are you guys with me? If Paul could submit, the greatest man in the New Testament apart from Jesus Christ could submit and say, I'm going to wait until my season is at the right time. When God will come down and send me out, you will have nothing but success. So Paul knew. From there he went to Athens. Athens, he preached, he taught his heart out. And the Bible explains how Paul walked out of Athens with his head down. And he had less than 5 salvations in a whole city. Are you guys with me? While Philip is having great evangelistic meetings and revival, and he's getting teleported from one city to another city, and people are just getting saved. That is Philip. Philip, who didn't even had a, he was an evangelist. That was it. Paul was an apostle trying to preach, and nothing happened. And then he wrote the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 4, where he said to the Corinthian church, he said, listen, when I came to you, I was on my way from Athens. I realized there was no power. But when I came to you, I began to make up my mind to write to you to say. And then he writes and he explains what he said to them at that time. He said, for I have not come with persuasive words of human wisdom, intellect, because I know this didn't work at Athens. This did not work. I had less than 5 salvations, but to you, I have come for a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God, so that your faith cannot lie in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Knowing that, listen, when I come into ECC, let your faith not be in my wisdom or in my intellect or in the lack of it, but let your wisdom be in the power and the presence of God that is in this place, knowing that, God, wait, if I sow into this ministry, financial breakthrough is mine. If I pray in this ministry, I will have breakthrough. If I'm sitting under this ministry, I'll be discipled. There will be power. Are you guys with me? Say with me, Pentecost. Is it too loud, my mic? Okay. Is it fine? So, okay, let's get to somewhere. I want you just to be obedient with me. I'm going to read you some things. Go with me to Luke chapter number 24, verse 49. What I'm going to do is, after this verse, I'm going to read through a chapter, and you're going to see what God is doing through that and the points that there's in. The one thing I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying to me is, speak about the results of Pentecost. Because Pentecost isn't today. When I say it isn't today, it has happened already many, many, many years ago. And many times we try to think back about that experience. That's good. But we need to understand, but wait, you know, when we're experiencing Pentecost today, when we're celebrating for what has happened, we must celebrate for what is going to happen also. Otherwise, you get these people and they just sucked into the past. Luke chapter number 24, verse 49, it says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, say with me, tarry. He says, wait in the city of Jerusalem until, say with me, until you are endued with power from on high. I'm going to go back earlier where I said earlier, I said when preachers preach and they preach without the power, they are becoming illegal. Are you guys with me? When preachers preach and they cannot move in power, they cannot pray for healing, they cannot cast a demon out, they are operating illegally. Because Jesus said to them and commanded them, he said, listen here, I want you to wait in Jerusalem, which speaks of your hometown or where you have an encounter with God, local church, until So wait there and do nothing until you are endued. The word endued means to be clothed to the degree of it becoming a second skin. Are you guys with me? In the Greek, it's endumo. It means to come on you and to become such a part of you. So what he's saying, he says, wait there until you are endued, clothed with, say with me, power from on high. He said, listen, I'm going to put a clothing around you. That'll be a clothing of power. You will feel goosebumps every fiber of your being. If you move your arm like this, people will get scared. It's power that'll come upon you. That power will not be a clothing that can come up and taken off and put on. It'll become part of your skin to the degree that it can be called a second skin. Are you guys with me? Power. Many ministers go out there trying to minister to this, trying to do that, and they have no power. Nobody has sent them. Nobody has commanded them. Are you guys with me? In this place, listen, what is that until you are endued with power? Some people might ask, okay, but now am I not allowed to go do anything? No. Jesus is speaking here about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's very simple. So if you're sitting in this church, you're baptized, you're going through the ranks, you're ministering to people in whatever capacity, how we do it through the e-groups, through to the poor and so on. You're ministering to people through evangelism. You are now allowed to, because you have received power from on high. But we don't want to allow anybody, when it comes to cell leaders, anything, evangelism, if they have not received power. Without that, you will be embarrassed and you'll make an embarrassment of God. Say with me, power. One of the reasons that Pentecost has come is to bring power. Are you guys with me? These men were up in the upper room. 120 of them praying and praying and praying. And the Bible says in Acts chapter number, or let's before we get there, let's go to Acts 1 verse 15. Dun, 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 dun. Acts 1 verse 15. And I want to share with you, as we are on the subject, and we'll close off with this and maybe pray for some. It says, I want to speak to you about the results of Pentecost. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst. I want to encourage you, if you're sitting in our church, take your phone, take your pen, take your booklet. I think we do pens like in the seats, do we? And write down, anything that is not written down is a wish. Anything that is written down becomes instruction and an importation. Okay? So you will never ever, you know, the statistics shown that after this message, if I have to ask you by tonight or tomorrow morning, what have I preached? You will not, they say people will remember the less than 35%. And that is only 50% of the people. So hearing has a general biological way of when you sit and listen to somebody that you lose what they are saying. So, but when you have a pen, you decide to pen it down. If Paul never decided to pen down the Bible, we would have never had it. And his pen was so anointed that God used it as the Bible. Okay? So just a thought. Otherwise, people give me the blank stare. As if they know exactly what I'm going to preach. And in those days, Peter stood up. Say with me, stood up. In the midst of the disciples, one of the first results of Pentecost, it'll give you boldness and courage to stand up. One of the other things that it'll give you boldness and courage, and you'll be promoted in the midst of your brothers. Are you guys with me? When the first anointing came upon David, the Bible says that David was anointed in the midst amongst his brothers. Your first anointing that will come upon your life will always be in the local church. It will be amongst everybody else that will be able to see you. Are you guys with me? Otherwise, it's not an anointing and it's just annoying. So, people are saying they're getting anointed out there. No. God works in the local church. And in those days, Peter stood up. He stood up for something. He said, listen, I am not going to be for sale and cheapen my value out. I will have a not for sale sign, not like Judas who sells. How many people sell their pastor out, sell their prophet out for something cheaper? They said, Peter said, listen, I'm going to stand in the midst and I'm going to preach this gospel. Even though Peter misquoted a couple of things in this preaching, it was still great preaching and 3,000 came to the Lord. Are you guys with me? It says he stood up. Go with me to Acts chapter number 2, verse 1. Let's look at the results of Pentecost. Last one. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, say with me, fully come. Number one, what Pentecost brings, Pentecost power, what we're celebrating over this conference, it brings an end to a season and a beginning to a season. It brings the fullness of a time in. Are you guys with me? That if you have struggled financially up until this time, you can take this word by faith and say, God, but wait, Pentecost is here. It's the beginning, it's the end of an old season, the beginning of a new season, which means the things in my life that did not work, the things in my life that was, this day I'm making a choice, I decree and I declare, I am entering into a new season, a season filled with power. A season filled with your presence. A season filled with fire. Listen. It's a fullness of time. And God works in times and seasons. I've seen it my whole life. I know when there's a time and I know when there is a season. In my life at the moment, I'm in a season. 2 years ago, I was in a time. Time means that you're under the radar. And you're just preparing. And the level of your preparation during your moment of time will determine whether your season will be good or not. Opportunity comes to every man. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chance and time, opportunity comes to every person. It just depends how prepared we are going to be. Are you guys with me? Man, I was watching revival videos all over, from Brownsville to Kenneth Hagin to many revival videos from South Africa. And I would see when the people would be so on fire, they would have meetings morning, afternoon, evening. And then the people would stay in the church, pray till the next morning until the meeting start again. People would stand queues outside. And when they walk in, the glory of God is so thick. The glory of, it's because, you know, I was preaching in the United States. I said to one church in the United States, they were not hungry, they were not open. Can't remember where it was, I think somewhere in the south. And I said to them, I said, you know, why God is not moving? When it comes to American church, I said, because we have option A, option B, option C, then we have option God. So we have the doctor, the psychologist, maybe a pharmacy, and then our inheritance. And then maybe, you know, if all else fails, none of the above, we choose God. Are you guys with me? That is why God will never move. He is waiting for a people that's saying, my only desire is your presence. I am so spiritually hungry that I can sit, I can eat food, somebody can buy me any gift, what I want. It just doesn't satisfy me. Unless if it is his presence. Unless I can see people getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, equipped, empowered, and having an encounter with God to give an encounter to others. That's the only thing that will fill me. Are you guys with me? And I was looking into these videos, and you can see the glory of God hanging all over the place. And how people are hungry. Okay, where are we? When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. Say with me, one accord. And number two, Pentecost will always bring unity. It will remove gossip. Are you guys with me? And then it says, in one place. Say with me, one place. It speaks of the local church. It speaks of a gathering together. All those were in one accord, same mind, same passion. That's what it means. In one place. A church, a gathering place where they worshiped God, where they preached the word, where they were praying, and there the Holy Ghost came down. Are you guys with me? Go to the next verse. And suddenly, say with me, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. When Pentecost takes place, when a new season is shifted over your life, and you know, but wait, I want you to walk out of this building today that you feel and know in your spirit, there is a new season upon my life. When you take that thing by faith, I'm telling you, you will feel God shutting the door behind you and giving you a key to go into the door in front of you. One day I'll speak about the five keys to financial prosperity, to kingdom prosperity, meaning there are keys to certain things. If people give you a key, most of the time it is apostles and prophets that carry keys. When they give you a key, they might say one sentence with one scripture, and that revelation hits you. Now you have that key to open that dimension. Are you guys with me? So I've been given keys when it comes to the glory. In this church, we haven't moved in the glory, and I don't think I've preached on the glory yet in 2 years. To the degree that we have before that. That is one of the keys that God has given me. But that key, somebody can grab it. Financial prosperity. According to scripture, there's five keys to financial prosperity. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, meditate on the word, on the Lord day and night, and your way shall be made prosperous. Done. Key of finances. So if you believe in that verse, you will be having prosperity. Number two, believe in the Lord your God and shall be established, but believe in his prophets and you shall prosper. Second key, prophets, believe in them. Are you guys with me? Third one, I'm not going to go on with all of them. That's my keys, that. Okay. Third one, the lazy will sleep, but the hand of the diligent I will make rich. So diligence is the key to become rich. Are you guys with me? Okay. So let's go to... No. I'll leave that for me. Okay. And I know them. So, where are we? And suddenly, say with me, suddenly, when Pentecost comes, when the season comes, there'll be moments of suddenly that'll begin to take in your life. When it's the ending of a season and the beginning of a season, things begin to work rapidly and suddenly. The Bible says in the book of Samuel that David went and hid in the place called Baal Perazim, the place of breakthrough. Then it says, the Lord of breaks will come break for you through like water through a dam wall. Are you guys with me? It is called the spirit of breakthrough. That spirit of breakthrough always comes suddenly and rapidly. It comes like it looks like a flash flood. When he said suddenly there came a sound, it means that they were sitting one moment. It was a sudden moment. The Bible says another place that Elijah and Elisha was walking and they were just busy talking, and suddenly Elijah was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. Are you guys with me? Taken up into heaven. Round about him were chariots of fire. It's a moment of suddenly. Whenever you see suddenly in the scripture, you will see a massive promotion for you or a massive demotion for the enemies. Suddenly God will come upon his enemies. Suddenly I will promote you. Hezekiah says, in the book of Chronicles, King Hezekiah says, we have restored the temple. We have restored these things. And the Lord has done all these things suddenly. Now riches shall come. Are you guys with me? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Say with me, a sound. One of the results of Pentecost is a sound that will come. There's a sound that is created. When you come into ECC, there is a sound. If you can see in the spirit, you can just look upon the people that have the spirit that God has poured out in this church upon their lives, and they carry a certain sound. They talk a certain way. They walk a certain way. They don't lay hands, dear Lord Jesus, please bless this person. No. They look a person in the eye and say, the power of God is going to come upon you. I lay hands on you. They have a sound on the inside of them. Listen, as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Next verse. Then there appeared to them divided tongues. Say with me, tongues. The next result of Pentecost is always speaking in tongues. Are you guys with me? If you cannot speak in tongues today, it is because you are not baptized with the Holy Spirit. So you cannot understand anything that we are saying. But when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you can speak in other tongues. When you pray and speak in tongues, you have the ability to embed the will of God into your mind. When you pray in other tongues, you speak the mysteries of God. When you pray in other tongues, you build up your spirit and your most holy faith, says the Bible. Are you guys with me? Which means when you sit in your room and you go, when you do that and you pray for hours in your room, you're building, you're going into construction mode and you're constructing your spirit and your faith. The reason why people cannot stand in front of somebody and pray for them or try to prophesy is because they have no faith. It is not because they have no gifts. Are you guys with me? Your faith level has to be high before you can do that. How do you get your faith level high? One of the ways is praying in the Holy Spirit. The second way is hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God, the rhema of God speaking. When I preach here and I'm prophetic and we preach prophetically, when you sit under this, it builds your spirit. You will feel full that you can do something. Are you guys with me? Listen, let's go on. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Say with the fire. Obviously fire falls at Pentecost. And one sat upon each of them. Next verse. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Go to the next verse. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Next verse. Let's go through this. And when the sound, say with you the sound. Listen to this. It says, when a people of a sound coming onto a place, when the sound occurred, comma, then the multitude came together. When there is a sound being released in a church, it may be a sound of no religion. In the same way, there can be a negative sound, a sound of religion. When there's a sound where heaven is shifted and you can feel, but wait, the presence of God is here, the multitudes will come together. Number two, they were confused because everyone heard them speaking his own language. Go for the next verse. Oh. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these speak with gracious? Say with him, marvel. Go for it to verse 12. Just go a bit on. We're still reading through that chapter. So it says, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? When you have a Pentecost encounter experience, when people look at you, when they meet you, when they see you, and you had a true Pentecost experience, your eyes feel full of light. Are you guys with me? You're standing in front of somebody and you feel all you want to do is prophesy and lay hands. You're not even thinking about the conversation you're supposed to have. You just want to give God to them. It says the people will look at you and say, what could this be? They will see the difference. Are you guys with me? Believe it or not, people and the devil can see light. Whatever could this mean? Next verse. Then others were mocking. Say with him, mocking. And they said, no, these guys are full of new wine. The flip side is that at Pentecost, persecution will always follow. Are you guys with me? They called Jesus a con man. Please listen. Imagine I get into the newspapers and they say, preacher and centurion allegedly taking the people's money for himself. Okay? Sensational news. And everybody says, we knew it. Leon is caught out. Number one, it said allegedly. Okay, but anyway. So We knew it. Let's go Sunday just to check what's happening. You see the evil-heartedness in people. Even Jesus, the Bible says, they called him a con man. They said he was taking the people's money. Then they used another story and they said, this man has lost his mind. He's out of it. He has gone mad. Jesus himself. Are you guys with me? And he said, listen, if you want to be my disciples, how much more will you be persecuted than what I was persecuted? It's amazing. You get the difference between a church, which is an army, or a mob. A mob is a people that just come and take, want to sit because maybe there's a new church here. But when hard times comes, they will depart. Or they can see even, but wait. I heard of a story of a pastor, a great pastor in Africa. And he had a stadium full of people. And he wasn't feeling well. Everybody touched him and tried to just ask for prayer. And he asked his team to take him out. As he walked out, he threw up outside because of the pressure and what people were doing. It was being claustrophobic and the pulling of people in your spirit. And people would come out. This is you can read about this. People would come out. They would point and look at the vomit. And they would still go to him and say, please, man of God, can you pray for this? Are you guys with me? There's a difference between a mob and an army. A mob is for me, myself. I want to rob somebody. Still, it's for myself. But when we are in an army, we say, listen here, what can we do for others? What can we do to take the city? It doesn't matter if Leon is preaching or if Martin is preaching or if Lloyd is preaching. As long as the kingdom of God is present in this place. As long as people are being equipped and the presence of God is here. Amen. Have your seats. Let's go to the next slide because I want to close. We're getting late. Okay. Where are we now? So, go to the next verse, verse 14. But Peter, standing up, so if he's standing up, there he stood up again. Go for it to verse 37. Guys, quick. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Say with me, cut to the heart. This word means conviction. It means to be so irritated. In the Greek, it means kasinos, to cut someone. It means to be irritating, to be pushed to the point of irritation. When the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be pushed to a place of irritation until you surrender to Him. Are you guys with me? So these people are looking. So the purpose of Pentecost is to bring conviction. Are you guys with me? Said Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Next verse. Then Peter said to them, repent. Say with you, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off. He says, listen here, this Pentecost is not for you, it's only yours, for every single person. Go to verse 40. So, and with many others, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his words were baptized, that about 3,000 souls were added to them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, I'm just getting to a point, and in prayers. These guys are praying everything. This is the results of Pentecost. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done. Say with me, many signs and wonders. Say it again, say many signs and wonders. We're building up testimonies here. We have people healed from AIDS. Are you guys with me? Documented. We have many other healings, but we're going to enter, listen, and I'm going to push for Pentecost, even tonight, for many signs and wonders and miracles. If God can touch someone's blood and say what is impossible and make it possible, He can do something for you. Listen here, one purpose of Pentecost is to anoint you to do the impossible. It's to anoint you to go out and whatever people have said is impossible is possible with God. Are you guys with me? Let's raise our hands and close our eyes, church. Father, May your anointing be upon every person as they leave this place. Tonight when we get back, may there be a Holy Ghost explosion. Pentecost power. A revival in our spirits like never before. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you.